Thank you so much for coming to my website on this, the 6th day of December, the year 2021, from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, United States of America, on God's good, great planet Earth. Well, I took off yesterday because I was tired. I needed to rest my mind. I needed to stop doing research. But I am back, and it's Monday afternoon. It's around 2:04 in the afternoon here in Los Angeles. And I thought about featuring an artist and everything, but I came across something that was very interesting. I was on Facebook, and someone put up a clip of John Batiste. You know, he just recently got so many Grammys. Best Male Singer of the Year Awards, very famous. I knew that he would be African Hollywood Africa. What, that first album, when I first heard it, I said, oh, yeah, this kid is going to be big in his day. And he is. And you know what I love about Batiste is his ability to touch us where we need to be touched. Now, what I mean by that is that he comes from the South, okay? From a South where not too far down from where he grew up, his ancestors picked cotton. Poor white folk, black folk lived down there, and John got a gig here in Hollywood, and now he's on the top of the heap, living like a man that got some sense. But I want to go back and play one song. He did a dedication ceremony to Willie Nelson back in the year 2020. He did a great work for Farm Aid, and he hosted this. And Batiste has a six-minute clip that someone put up on Facebook in September 27th, the year 2020. And I found his rendering of this one song that I'm going to play, and I may play the rest of it as I fade out. But he played this song called I'll Fly Away. And I thought about the song, people, because I said, oh, wait a minute, I remember that song. That song was a very... I remember because I had never heard the song until after I had joined a Christian church. My family, Baptist church. I'll fly away. One glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. That song. And Batiste sung it. At this thing for helping Farm Aid in the year 2020, and I thought that I'd look it up. It was a hymn written in 1929 by Albert E. Brumley and published in the year 1932 by the Hartford Music Company in a collection entitled Wonderful Message. Brumley's writing was influenced by the 1924 secular ballad, The Prisoner's Song. Now, I looked up in Wikipedia because I wanted to get my facts right about the song before I played it. And Wikipedia is a great tool for you to look up and find out information back in the day. Because back in the day when I was playing it by ear on the piano and playing it for funerals when the church pianist, Selena Belvin, would show up late at the church, I'd call her and say, Selena, you know there's a well, the musician couldn't get here, and they needed a musician. And she lived 7-8 blocks from the church, so she tried to get down there and play. And before she got there, I found, man, it was one funeral. I was at the piano playing it. The congregation was singing it, and Selena came in and slid me right off the piano stool and started playing it in the same key that I was in. In the key of C, that was my favorite key. very easy on the piano. And she would just play it, and the people would not be crying, but happy. And You know, I never thought about the words until I heard John Batiste sing it. And the closer I get to my glad morning, I'm happy. I'm anticipating a great flight. I love it. Oh, my goodness. This song was recorded as a gospel song and was frequently used in worship services by Baptist, Pentecostals, and Nazarenes, the Churches of Christ, and many Methodists. It appears that many hymnals were listed under the topics of eternal life, heaven, acceptance, and it was a standard song at the bluegrass jam sessions and still is today, and it is often yet performed at funerals, though we are used to hearing, "If anybody asks me, where am I going? Where am I going? Soon I'm going up yonder." Y'all remember that one, especially in the black church. Yes, sing that song at my funeral. Well, I've already given instruction that at my going away gig that there's to be no religious song sung, because you know what my life is all about. My life has been bent on, stayed on, like that old Negro folk song. "I woke up this morning with my mind, what? Stayed on Jesus." Not a white man, not a black man, not an Asian man, not a Hispanic man, but the man Jesus, the one that wrote the words in the red letter editions. I don't see what color he is, but I know he wasn't a white boy from Germany with blue eyes and blonde hair. I know better than that. I've never looked to God like that. Never, ever, ever, ever. I would see myself more like a Muslim, in that God is a spirit. I think Jesus said that. Jesus said, "God is a spirit, and he that worship him must worship him." That means that it's an imperative, must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's get back to Elbert E. Brumley. He was described as a preeminent gospel songwriter of the 20th century with over 600 published songs. Other songs Brumley included was "Jesus, Hold My Hand." Never heard it. "Turn Your Radio On." I remember that one vaguely. "I'll Meet You in the Morning." Don't believe so. "And This World Is Not My Home." Oh, he's right about that. Because, listen, since we are spirit beings and our ancestors are spirit beings, did you know that I have one spoon in my kitchen drawer that was an original spoon from my mother's silverware set? And I have it, and every time I use that spoon, I say hello to my mommy, whom the last time she saw me, I was 12 years old, and she was 33 years old when she passed away. But every time I touch that spoon, I talk to my mommy. See, I'm going way back. I believe in ancestral contact. Now, that was taken out of us when you joined the Christian band, because in the seminary that I went to, they said, "That's demonistic." No, it's not. That's humanistic. We all come from that world. According to interviews, speaking about Mr. Brumley, came up with the idea of the song while picking cotton on his father's farm in Rock Island, Oklahoma. I knew he was a Southerner. And we just sung that song like it was our own. Brumley says that he worked on it while he was humming an old ballad, and it went like this: "If I had the wings of an eagle, over these prison walls I would fly." And suddenly it dawned on me, Brumley said, that I could use this plot for a gospel-type song. The song Brumley described appears to be the prisoner's song. It was an additional 3 years later until Brumley worked out the rest of the song, paraphrasing one line of the secular ballad to read, "Like a bird from prison bars is flown," using prison as a metaphor for this earthly life. Brumley said that when he wrote it, he had no idea that it would become so universally popular. And other earlier 19th century slave songs also contained similar lyrics stating, "I'll fly away to glory, I'll fly away to my heavenly home, and I'll shout glory." And listen, when you go to churches that resemble the Christian church, because there is not really any said fixed doctrine. When I was on the radio doing my thing during my prime, I was a stickler for apologetics. I was a stickler for the correct doctrine. I used to attack other preachers that would come and say that the Bible meant that, and it didn't mean that. I would attack them vehemently. I gave no mercy. But with this song, I think this song neutralizes all of the faiths. The Buddhists, the Muslims, the Christians, the Sikhs, everybody, every particular religious faith can sing this song that John Batiste is going to sing for us right now. I just want you to put your thing in it and see if you can relate. John Batiste, "I'll Fly Away." Sing it, John.
Some glad morning, when this life is over, oh, I'll fly away.
Sing it, man.
There's no reason for any of us to fear death after listening to John Batiste sing a song like that. No reason to fear it, but rather to welcome it, to embrace it, to go to that other place, where there are no more mansions, no more rent, no more Cadillacs, no more involvement with the material. As a matter of fact, our spirits are immaterial. The immaterial is that which is opposite from the material. Because in this place where our spirit goes is not a material, but an immaterial dwelling or place. I like it the way Jesus put it in his writings. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, I'm quoting it verbatim. So if I miss a word or something, please forgive me. He said, you believe in God, you also believe in me. And now, Jesus knew that he was speaking with human beings. Well, quite naturally, he knew that. And he said, in my Father's house. Now, he had to use the term house because he was talking with people that was living in houses. This was some 2,300 years ago. They may have been mud huts with no electricity. They maybe didn't have any plumbing in there to get rid of human waste. But it was a house, such as it was. Every king, the king of Israel had a house. The king of the Hittites had a house. The Jebusites, the Moabites, all of them, the Egyptians, all of them had houses. Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. In my Father's house, in other words, he says, where God dwells. See, and I don't know where God dwells. See, my religion might have told me, well, God dwells beyond the clouds. Wait a minute, I saw those movies. I saw the movies with Louis Armstrong blowing the trumpet. He was an angel blowing the trumpet, and God was on the throne smoking a cigar. Hold it. Wrong image. See, I want you to get those images out of your head because the images were a lie. The images were to console you, to keep you constrained in a particular way. Now, if you want your house in heaven, you got to make sure you keep the Lord's house holy. Yeah, right. Okay. How? Let me finish that. All right. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Now, what did Jesus say? He said right after that, he said, if I go, and he went, because they strung him up, they killed him. That's the way the history got it. If I go, I will prepare a place for you. That does not mean that Jesus is going out off in the heavenly somewhere and to build you a brick house with air conditioning, gas, and forced heat, and a Bentley or a Cadillac out in your driveway, where are you going to drive to? You're not in a city. You're not connected to a state. You're not in a country. You don't even know what planet this place is on. If it's on a planet, this is what I used to think. Let me tell you what I used to think. I used to think that heaven was this huge, huge planet, about 100 billion times bigger than the earth that God has set up. And all the people that ever were born and lived on this earth, their spirits are going to go and dwell on this huge, terrific giant of a big ball with air and water. And it may even look like the surface of Mars. I don't know. But I said it got to, for all the people that know this story to go there, this has got to be a place that only God could create. I'm not being blasphemous when I say this. I'm telling you to break away from the stories that have you henpecked and out of your mind because you're afraid to die. Every human being that was born of a woman on this planet, unless he was very special, died. Even Jesus died. Yes. Yes, he did. You're not going to transition on to the next place unless you die. Well, now, wait a minute. Let's keep going because I like this John Batiste thing so much. John picked up one of those little the harmonicas that you blow air into, and he played this next number. Check it out. All right. Will the circle be unbroken? Play it. That's Willie Nelson. Yeah, that was it. That was it, man. What a great, great tribute. Those old songs, and I'm speaking to the millennials now, those old songs still rings home for millions, millions of Americans, black and white alike, even our Hispanic. My Indian brothers and sisters, they have their traditions, which is strong and beautiful. That's why when that school teacher a few months ago was blaspheming, making a joke of the Indian burial song, she lost her job. See, these are sacred things that people believed in. And I just like to bring it up on my website. Now, y'all just remember me in prayer. Not that anything is wrong, but I'm going to the hospital to take a few tests. It's time for me to do that, and I got to do it this week. And you keep listening, and I will give you the results of these tests. And the old man is just going to continue to do what he's doing. But I went to church yesterday. Hey, man, I'm excited to tell you that I went to church yesterday. I'm not going to tell you what church I went to because some of you are still involved in that. But I was at this church, and this sister came up to me, and she hit it right on the head when she was speaking to me about what I need to do. And she said, John, you need to come out of retirement, and you need to help these young men. That's what she told me. Oh, my God, why did she say that? I said, what are you talking about? She said, you know what I'm talking about. She said, you need to help these young people. And you know what? I'm going to put 100% effort in it. Those of you that know me, you know when I put my hand to the plow, I'm not turning back. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's a church that most conventional so-called Christians would not attend, and I'm glad, because I don't want to be around people that try to place themselves as superior or above any other person. I don't like being around those kind of people. Those kind of people turn my stomach. Those are the kind of people, listen, those kind of people were trying to get me to be like that. But thank God I never fully gave myself over to that kind of Tommy Rot foolishness. But what I've been able to do now is to look at every individual that I sat next to. You guys know, because see, when I went to church and we had some crazy guy there and he used to want everybody to stand up and hold hands. And I never have been into holding nobody's hand in no public forum because I don't know those people. I don't, not that I didn't know where their hand was. Hell, we all got to wipe our butts, so that don't bother me. We're humans. I'm talking about holding hands because I'm not really linked in to you, but I went to church yesterday. God bless the pastor, and he just said it just the way I used to say it years ago when I was a young preacher. I used to say it, and they used to think I was crazy. And I said, we need to love everybody, everybody, regardless of what they did. Oh, I told you the story. Women used to come up to me and say, hey, Pastor John, can you read minds? I told them, girl, I don't care who you sleeping with. That's none of my business. You make sure you are right on with God and that the person that you with is the right person, lest your heart get broken. I didn't go around calling out people's name and doing things like that. And I found a church home. I have. Where none of that exists. They don't ask questions. You can come there. As a matter of fact, I was sitting in between two men. And both of them was teared up. And we were just squeezing each other's hands. Just sending the message of love from one person to another person, and it was beautiful in the room. And that's where I'll go when I want to worship. I'm not going to go to the conventional churches because they're not able to do that yet. And when you get, listen, I'm talking to the naysayers now. When you get to the point where you are grateful for all of God's creation. Oh, Jesus, don't get me to preach in here. When you get to the point when you are happy, content with all of God's creation, regardless of what a man or a woman has done in this life, if that person says, I dedicate my soul, my being, to the God that created the universe. If you can't be in an audience with that person, woe unto you. You pretty well messed up. Thank you, John Batiste and Willie Nelson, for Farm Aid. And pray for our farmers. Because it appears that certain aspects of the government's trying to cut them off. Don't tell the farmer to plow under the food. To kind of, I mean, oh my God, when you look at what's happening to the farmers, we need to do more than offer prayer for them. You saw how those Indians closed down that pipeline going through their burial grounds? They got out there and made a statement. That's what you're going to have to do. And there's so much crime going on, crime in high places. I used to be kind of over boisterous in a negative way about all these female lawyers and attorneys that passes the bar and become the judges. But I seen a sister on Facebook. Shoot, what you talking about? Put a dirty cop down the way he should be. And the camera was on him. And I said, well, God be glorified. There is some justice in this land, just a little bit. But it's good that I'm alive to see it take place. When I left church to drive home in my car yesterday, I was listening to my gospel station on my radio on my phone, and the Lord spoke to me and said, you help those young men out, John, all you can. And I'm going to meet with the pastor very soon, and I'm going to put together a demonstration of a PowerPoint lesson. Because if those of you know me, I have tons. I mean, tons of PowerPoint lessons. Most of them will be changed because it's flooded with too many opinionated scriptures. I'm only going to use the few that will bring the point home. But I want to show my brothers and sisters what God gave me to show a church that turned its back on living this. Willie Nelson ended up with a question mark. Will the circle be unbroken? Oh, yes, it's going to be unbroken in the sweet by and by. And what that song is talking about is some of us going to die. But I was here. I just took care of a little official business in my home. Young man was by, young Korean man who owned the company. And I said, y'all did a fine job. And I wrote him a check. And I put a little extra in there. And he said, well, what? I said, that's a Christmas gift from me to you, my Korean human brother. And he said, but you didn't have to. Of course, none of us have to. But until America comes to the point where she must do what is expedient, that's how all this bull crap that's gotten started by these people that think that they're superior to other people. We have to change that. Willie asked the question, will the circle be unbroken? See, what I did in the life of that businessman who came by to get the money for a job well done, what I did for him was showing what God has placed in my heart. And someone else asked me recently for $100. I haven't responded because I told that person, what you get yourself into, you get yourself out of. Don't ever ask me to get you out of something that you put yourself into, because you knew what you were doing when you did that. And I always tell people, figure out the end of that journey before you sign up for it. Because if not, it's going to constitute payback. Hey, thank you for coming to my website. It's been a great 33 minutes, and God bless you. Tomorrow, going to have something else real special for you. Don't worry, I'll go back to my library and I'll pick something real cool. God bless.